This is Jay Sekulow breaking news. The president to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Everybody, welcome to Washington, D.C. Well, this is a big day indeed, because in about an hour from our live broadcast time, the President of the United States, President Donald Trump, will do what many presidents have said they would do but actually did not do, and that is will announce that the United States of America, our country, recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. He will also sign a waiver delaying the relocation of the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, but that's because it's going to take about 3 to 4 years to build that facility, as you can imagine the nature of the security. The president's going to be making this speech in about an hour. For those of you that are hearing us a little bit tape delayed, let me give you kind of a preview of what it's going to be. He's going to announce that this is an important move, that this recognizes the facts on the ground, that the only country in the, really in the world that did not have its capital recognized by other nations is the state of Israel. This is also going to put in play issues on the peace talks, because it takes off the table the issue of Jerusalem. So again, this is a big move. I'm going to get reaction to this from our senior counsel, Stuart Roth, who's done a tremendous amount of work in this area, working with our office in Jerusalem, as well as Skip Ash. Skip heads up our international law practice group, but also has been involved in matters in Israel for 2 decades. Skip, let me start with you here. First, your reaction to this, a very bold move by the president.
I think it definitely is a bold move, but it's a timely move. We have put this off for so many years, and you're exactly right. Jerusalem has been the actual capital of the state of Israel since Israel became a nation back in 1948. So this is just recognizing the reality of the situation, and you're right again, and that the fact that every other country in the world has the right to designate its capital. Israel has designated its capital, and all we're doing is recognizing the reality on the ground.
So, Stuart, some are going to say, we're going to get into this in the next segment of the broadcast, some are going to say, well, what does this do for the peace talks? But in one sense, what it does very clearly is say, look, the issue of Jerusalem is off the table.
Well, absolutely, Jay. First
and it
of
should
all,
be.
Yes. First of all, I want to compliment the president.
Yep.
He has done what so many others had promised. This was a campaign promise. It was a serious promise, and he kept it, and that's really admirable. I think what you say is really on point, because we can't rewrite history here. Everybody knows that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And so when we start negotiating, we're not negotiating from facts that don't exist. We're going to start negotiating here in 2017, 2018 with what is reality. And the reality is Jerusalem is the undivided capital of Israel. And so there are other issues that need to be sorted out between the Palestinians and the state of Israel, but it's not Jerusalem.
Well, let me tell you what this is also. The president has notified the Palestinian Authority, President Mahmoud Abbas, also Jordan's King Abdullah. He's also notified allies of the United States, including Egypt, Saudi Arabia as well. Now, what's I think fascinating about all of this is when you look at the situation, and people are saying, well, the expectation was that the president went through this until the negotiations, this would be part of the negotiation process. I think by taking off Jerusalem off the negotiating process was the right move, because it starts with where it really is going to have to start, and that is Jerusalem is the undivided capital of Israel, period. And the president, to his credit, has acknowledged that today. We're going to talk about the reaction we expect in the region when we come back from the break. But we're also taking your comments as well, 1-800-684-3110. Of course, your comments by Facebook and Periscope. Big day, President Trump to announce the U.S. will recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. It's a big day. Also, for the American Center for Law and Justice, we're a matching challenge campaign. We have an office in Jerusalem. Your support of the ACLJ today keeps that office functioning. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. Hey, morning. If you're catching us live, we are about a little less than an hour away from the president making the historic announcement that the United States is going to recognize Israel's capital, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. This is a very big move, and that the embassy will be moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, although that will take a number of years to house the 1,000 employees to build the kind of facility that's necessary for security purposes. Again, if you're just joining us, this is about to happen. If you're hearing us a bit tape delayed, the essence of what's happened is the president is recognizing what is, in fact, the facts on the ground. Jerusalem is the capital of the state of Israel, and it is just ironic that one of the only nation that doesn't have its capital recognized is Israel. And, Skip, as a matter of law, and I think that's, you know, one of the things we do deal with here, and by the way, we've got, at the ACLJ, we have an office in the capital of Israel in Jerusalem, and in the next I'm going to take a group over there, I think, in the next couple of years. We're going to do another one. We haven't done those tours in a long time, but after this gets implemented, this will be quite the time to do it, I think. And, Skip, let's talk about from a matter of law. I mean, you're talking about Tel Aviv to Israel is an hour drive. It's not far, but the symbolism is very significant. But as a matter of law, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel.
Absolutely. Since the founding of the State of Israel, at least West Jerusalem has been designated the capital. The Knesset is there. Their Supreme Court is there. So many of their ministries are located in Jerusalem. So all we're doing now is recognizing a legal reality on the ground. But let's not forget the fact that I think this is also to sort of nudge the Palestinians. They had multiple opportunities when Israel said, okay, we're willing to split the city if you'd come back to negotiations, and they wouldn't do it. So now, you know, they have put this off, and they have tried to, pressure Israel to give more concessions. And I think finally the United States has said, we've had enough. You've had your opportunities, and we're going to recognize now the reality on the ground, and that is that Jerusalem is the undivided, eternal capital of the State of Israel.
It's interesting. The Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas has warned the president of the United States, Donald Trump, that the announcement would, quote, have dangerous repercussions. And he is quickly trying to sign his or get into play his coalition government with Hamas, which, by the way, calls for the destruction of the State of Israel.
Well, Jay, too often in the history of the State of Israel, we've seen American policy being guided by threats from the Arab stakeholders in the region, in that the Americans wouldn't do what was right because of these threats, and they didn't want to upset the Arabs, especially when the oil over there was of great value to us. But history has proven when the United States does what is right, they will gain respect of their neighbors. And there's really nothing that Saudi Arabia, Jordan, other countries like Egypt that are so heavily dependent upon the United States, there's nothing they're really going to do about this. And it's their job to keep the Arab Street and their countries quiet and calm and stop threatening violence against the United States and Israel.
You know, it's interesting that government officials here in the United States are saying that the move actually aids the peace process by offering the recognition of reality on the ground, which is precisely what I've said. So the reality is the Israelis are not giving up Jerusalem. You understand that's not going to happen. So why start with a false narrative of a negotiating posture where you know you're never going to go there? So take that off the table, which, look, this is a president that's the art of the deal. He understands how negotiations work. Now that's off the table. Now you can start negotiating. And by the way, if we see tomorrow morning or tonight that the Arab world is a flame of fire because of the United States' recognition of Israel's own decision. By the way, the international community doesn't decide where a nation state puts its capital. The nation state does. So for Israel, it was Jerusalem. That was the decision the government, the people of Israel made. It's the eternal, undivided capital of Israel. So if they're going to be inflamed in a war or threats of war and violence, they also passed yesterday was the Taylor Force Act, which says, you know what, if you keep supporting terrorism, guess what you're not getting? Money from the United States.
Well, that's right. American taxpayers are funding the Palestinian Authority and their related organizations who are rewarding terrorists as martyrs who kill Israeli and Jewish citizens. And that's the money that we are sending into Washington, D.C. every day as we go to work. That's what we're paying for. So no longer. And again, the threats are coming from that area. If we do this, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. We cannot have our foreign policy governed by threats from that area of the world. Jay.
No, thugs and terrorists don't get to do that either. So if Hamas is threatening or Hezbollah, that should not be a factor in our determination as to what's the best policy moving forward. Let me play for you what the president said, a flashback last year.
We will move the American embassy to the eternal capital of the Jewish people, Jerusalem.
I mean, let me tell you something. I know there are critics, people that don't like the president, people that do like the president. There are Republicans that like the president, Republicans that don't like the president, Democrats that don't agree with the president. Some Democrats, a few, may agree with the president on some things. You know what? I'm going to tell you this from a purely geopolitical legal situation. Number one, legally. There is no question that all we are doing is recognizing what is in fact on the ground, that the country that is sovereign over this area, Israel, has their capital as Jerusalem. So that's number one. Skip already defined the issues under international law. Number two, it takes that issue as a fake bargaining chip because it was never going to be a bargaining chip. So all these false starts that took place under the Clinton administration and President Bush, it didn't ever happen. They never could get to a deal. Giving Jerusalem up divided would not give them the deal. So now we've got a real play, a real move by a real negotiator in place here. And I think that what you're going to see, and we'll get reaction from our office in Jerusalem, I'm sure, on the broadcast tomorrow. We'll give you more updates. But, Skip, you and I have been there a lot. We know this area. There are threats coming from Hamas, who controls the Gaza Strip. This is supposed to be the partner, by the way, of the Fatah, which is the old PLO, and they are saying, and this is what's so the irony of this to me, is that they are declaring a day of rage in response to the president's statement. Skip, your reaction.
Well, this is not unusual for the Arabs. Every time they don't get their way, they create some type of a day of rage or some type of violence to try to have people change their mind. They are not prepared, in my view, to ever negotiate because what they ultimately have promised their people is unachievable. They have told their own people that someday they're going to go back and they're going to be able to take over and return to their homes in Israel. No state would allow that. So they have created expectations that are so unrealistic that when it gets to the point that they are offered a deal that would meet most of their what they've agreed to in the international community, they can't accept it because they in turn would be killed because they would be violating all these expectations they have raised in their own people. So it's not a surprise they're doing this. What is a surprise is that the Western civilization, the Western countries, over and over and over again fall for this this attempt to really blackmail people into doing what they want. They never agree to anything, and they just continue to bring violence on the international stage, trying to force their hand.
Let me play for you the threats coming out of Turkey's Prime Minister Erdogan.
Our struggle on this matter will continue with resolve. As a matter of fact, this can go as far as breaking off our diplomatic relations with Israel.
You know, they could say all this, and Erdogan could do all these threats. Let me tell you what I think this president's about to do. Okay, this is coming to you as the chief counsel of the ACLJ, not as the president's lawyer. But let me tell you what I think this president's going to do. You know what he's doing? This is the art of the deal. Enough's enough. These countries get billions of dollars from the United States. And all the United States is doing, okay, is recognizing the reality on the ground. And for that, you're going to have Hamas and Hezbollah threaten once again to take action. Well, let me tell you what they're not going to do. Defeat the Israeli army and the Israeli defense forces and the Israeli air force. So if they're ridiculous enough to try to incite this kind of violence, the wrath of the Israeli defense forces will protect the people of Israel. And the United States is simply recognizing the reality that's on the ground. And my compliments to the president on this. I think it's a bold move. I think it may have actually get peace discussions actually happening, Stuart.
Well, the reality on the ground also is, Jay, is that Israel's not going anywhere. Israel is a nation. Israel is a state. And what this is really about in this region of the world is not about what Jerusalem is or what Jerusalem isn't or whether there's a settlement here or a settlement there. It's the total rejection of the concept of a Jewish state. And it's been that way for 100 years since the Balfour Declaration in 1917. So acknowledging what is reality as a starting point for the negotiations is what will eventually and inevitably, I pray, lead to peace in that area. But it's the reality. It's not the fantasy of the Palestinians and the other Arab countries that Israel will cease to exist.
All right, we've got a lot more ahead on this, and we're going to take your comments as well coming in on Facebook and Periscope. But also, coming up in the second half hour of the broadcast, we're going to be joined by, in addition to Skip Ash, our director of policy, another one of our military analysts, because some of this is going to be this a purported conflict that's about to take place on the ground in Jerusalem. Don't forget, when you support the work of the ACLJ, you are supporting our office in Jerusalem. We're in a matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. And as I said, we're in a matching campaign right now. And your support for the ACLJ helps us keep that office in Israel's capital, Jerusalem, open and functioning. We've got lawyers, government affairs experts, really doing a great job over in Israel and have been there for over a decade. Your support makes that happen. So I encourage you to go over to ACLJ.org and support the work of the ACLJ. When we come back from the break, more analysis on what happens next. Tomorrow, of course, we'll have discussions on the reaction. But what happens next? Coming back up.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Well, despite appeals and warnings from world leaders, the President of the United States in about 30 minutes is going to announce and reverse decades of U.S. policy by declaring Jerusalem as Israel's capital, which is basically just acknowledging the fact on the ground. It's a big deal, and I'm proud of the President for doing this. It's acknowledging the fact on the ground that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And I want to recap a little bit of what that means. The President, if you're hearing us tape delayed, on tomorrow's broadcast, we'll have a full analysis. If you're hearing this tape delayed, we'll have a full analysis of this, obviously, tomorrow. We'll also see reaction. But, Skip, let's recap for a moment here the legal status of Jerusalem, because the state of Israel as a sovereign nation has the right under international law to establish its own capital, which it did. It was just the world refuses to recognize it.
Absolutely. The ever since Israel became a state in 1948, West Jerusalem has been its designated capital. In 1967, when it got control of the entire city, shortly thereafter it passed a law that incorporated the entire city as the eternal capital of Israel. We have to keep in mind that there are a number of principles of international law, one of which is Udi Possidetis Iuris, which says when Israel came into existence in 1948, every bit of territory in the Mandate for Palestine became sovereign Israeli territory. That includes the entire city of Jerusalem. That includes the so-called West Bank. That includes the Gaza Strip. So they have a right on their sovereign territory to do whatever they can, which is lawful.
So it's interesting because the President is going to announce that the United States recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. He is also planning on announcing that he's going to initiate the process of relocating the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Now, that's been on the books for years, and there's this every 6 months, every president signs these waivers saying, well, we'll look at it again in 6 months. Now, the president is signing the waiver, and he will have to sign the waiver probably five more times. And I say that because they are going to build an embassy in Jerusalem, but there are 1,000 employees in the U.S. embassy in Tel Aviv right now. So you need to have the most significant security you can imagine for this U.S. Location now to be in Jerusalem. So this is a big move. Now, Stuart, some are going to argue that this is going to completely defeat any idea of a peace process.
Well, the peace process that's been defeated for the last 40, 50, 60 years. I mean, the reality is, Jay, there are facts on the ground that are not changing. And in addition to Jerusalem being the capital of Israel, the other fact that's not changing is that Israel is a Jewish state. It is the homeland of the Jewish people. So the other fantasy that takes place every time the peace process starts is the Palestinians wanting this right of return for all of the Palestinians, the Arabs from the state of Palestine under the mandate, who left during the war of 1948, for them and their descendants to return into greater Israel and become citizens there, so that their population would overtake the Jewish population and it would cease being a Jewish state. That is another non-starter for the Palestinians. So this is the way the quote-unquote negotiations have went for many, many decades. The Palestinians putting forth non-starters on Israel's side as 100% must-haves on their side. So I think this move by this administration is so bold, and I think it's one of the beginning of many moves that acknowledge the facts on the ground. So when you start to negotiate, you can really negotiate in reality and not fantasy.
So, Skip, where does it go from here? I think that's what people want to know. What's the next logical move?
Well, I think once we have this, hopefully members of the international community, which have been intimidated by the Arab world, will follow suit. They'll recognize and begin to move embassies back and recognize that Jerusalem is indeed the capital of Israel. But we have to expect there'll be some pushback. For instance, Turkey is raising Cain. They have this vision of becoming a new Ottoman Empire and being the Sultan and all that type of thing. So they're trying to stir up the pot. But we can expect the Arab street for a while to be stirred up about this. But the Arab countries need to recognize that when the Arab street is stirred up like this, it affects their governments, not Israel. Israel is a stable democracy and will survive this. It's the Arab countries themselves that need to adopt a little bit of reality. Even the new crown prince of Saudi Arabia is trying to tone down the extremist Islamic rhetoric in his country, and that's the type of Islamic rhetoric that has created ISIS and all these other groups and Al-Qaeda and these other groups that are destabilizing the world. So they recognize that they need to get this under control quickly.
So the Taylor Force Act also was passed by the House yesterday and is also cleared a committee in the Senate. It conditions financial assistance that comes from the United States, which is almost a $500 million a year, to the West Bank and Gaza on steps by the Palestinian Authority to end violence and terrorism against Israeli citizens. So if in reaction to this, and you got this legislation, which hopefully gets voted on by the Senate right away, if you do get this days of rage nonsense out of the and violence out of the Palestinian Authority backed groups or Hamas and Hezbollah, and the funds get cut off, they're putting themselves in harm's way.
Jay, I wouldn't give them a nickel. And fortunately, we have a president in the White House that I'm sure feels the same way. Why would the American taxpayers fund terrorism against our allies and against ourselves? Because remember, the Israelis aren't doing anything today. This is an announcement by the president of the United States moving the United States embassy. So if they're going to have all of this rage, who's it going to be against? The Israelis aren't doing anything. It's going to be against the United States. And they're going to do that, and we're going to be sending them money that enables them to rage against the United States? I really don't think so.
Well, the reality is this. The president has made what is clearly a bold move and the right move, and it is recognizing the reality on the ground. Because the reality on the ground is the sovereign state of Israel, the Jewish state, has the authority and right to do exactly what they did, declare their capital to be Jerusalem. And the United States is simply recognizing what is a fact, and that is Jerusalem is the eternal and undivided capital of the Jewish state of Israel. So with all protests to the contrary, and we'll see what the reaction of the Arab world is in the next 24 hours, but the fact is they better be cautious because the Israelis, number one, know how to defend themselves. Number two, the United States is now saying we're going to stop giving you money if you continue this kind of action. And number three, this brings it right to the table. And Skip, let me give you a final word here before we go to a break. And that is, how significant in the history of Israel is this move today?
Well, I think it's very significant. Recall that the United States was the first nation to recognize the independence of Israel. And now we are finally following up what we should have done at that time, and we should have put our embassy in their capital. And I think this is significant. We are the leading nation in the world, and we're no longer going to play the Palestinians game. We're now going to recognize reality and move our embassy to the actual capital of Israel. And I think that's a step that we should have done decades ago.
Stuart, how significant?
It's very significant. And I think the other thing that Skip said and Jay, you had mentioned, I think really these quote-unquote allies in our area that take our money,
right?
Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan, I think the message needs to be keep a lid on it there because they are so dependent upon the United States. This is a diplomatic move by the United States of America, and those countries need to respect it.
All right, so we're going to be back with another 30 minutes of the broadcast. We'll be joined by some of our military experts as well as our government affairs team. But I want to let you know that at the ACLJ, our team right now, we've got five lawyers. Stuart's heading this team up of working on a comprehensive analysis and plan for a peace in the Middle East. It's a big project, obviously. But we've got our offices in Jerusalem and Washington, New York, everyone working on this, five lawyers and government affairs teams working on this. Your support of the ACLJ allows us to do that. On a historic day like today, we don't just talk about the news. We're in the news. We're making the news. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate to us is doubled in our matching challenge. We encourage you to do that at ACLJ.org, especially today for our office in Jerusalem. ACLJ.org. We've got a lot more ahead. If you don't get the full 30 minutes of the broadcast, just go over to ACLJ.org. We're broadcasting it there.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everybody. So the president recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which is recognizing the fact on the ground. Guess what? Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and the sovereign state of Israel made that determination, and now we finally got a president that's willing to recognize that fact. Now, there's going to be reaction in the Arab world. I'm sure we're going to hear about that in the next 24 hours on tomorrow's broadcast. We will have a full analysis of what that reaction is and what it means. But I want to start with a very important statement here. The president announcing that the U.S. recognizes Jerusalem as capital and beginning the process of building an embassy in Jerusalem. By the way, that's going to take 3 to 4 years. So there will be waivers that are signed because there's a law that requires every president 6 months to either sign a waiver or move the capital. But to build the kind of embassy you need in the capital, it's going to take 3 to 4 years. 1,000 employees in the embassy in Israel that's right now in Tel Aviv. But this is a very important step because this is a recognition, as I said, of the reality on the ground. Now, I'm joined here by Stuart Roth and Skip Ash. And to just recap, Stuart, some are saying that this is going to interfere significantly with the peace process. But yet when the Palestinian Authority under Yasser Arafat was offered East Jerusalem as its capital, they still said no. So this takes that issue off the table.
Well, yes, they only know how to say no. I mean, the whole thing about the Palestinians under the leadership of Yasser Arafat and Abbas, it's really about the struggle and the process. It's never about making peace. They can never pull the trigger. But the reality is this is a red herring issue. It needs to be taken off the table because when you sit down to negotiate, you have to negotiate the real issues. Everybody in the world knows Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. We're broadcasting today from Washington, D.C., and this is our nation's capital. I mean, these are just facts on the ground. So I think this will help the peace process because the peace process gets wasted, folks, for so many days and so many weeks talking about issues that really don't exist. And the issue that doesn't exist is Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the undivided capital of the Jewish people of Israel.
Yeah, and that's now, not only is that a fact on the ground, that is now going to be a fact under U.S. law. But under international law, Skip, I want to reiterate this for people, that is already the case.
That's correct. Every state, every independent state has the right to designate its capital without any interference from anybody outside. And all states in international law are considered to be equal in value and equal in sovereignty. The Israeli state has determined that Jerusalem is its capital. That settles it under international law.
So, Skip, you're a military guy. What do you think about these threats coming from the Palestinian authorities? Now, Hamas and Hezbollah, they're gonna take action. By the way, they're always taking action. But what's your reaction to that?
Well, that's exactly right. They're always threatening these things, and periodically they do things that cause violence. But the issue is that's because they're not prepared to make the hard decisions for peace. Do they really want peace? And I think they probably do not want peace. If you look at the crest of the Palestinian Authority, it has all of Palestine, which includes present-day Israel, as part of Palestine. Their ultimate goal is to drive the Jews into the sea. That has not changed. Despite their rhetoric, they'll say, no, we recognize Israel. But they only want to recognize Israel to the point where they're capable of driving it into the sea. So their goal has never changed. We need to recognize that and stop kowtowing to their threats.
All right, so let me just say this. The policy and position of the American Center for Law and Justice, we have an office in the capital of Israel, Jerusalem. We've maintained that office for over a decade. That office will continue working on this issue, and now more than ever. And we think that the president has made the right move. I think taking this issue off the table was a non-negotiable start. There was no way that the Israelis can give up their capital. And if you look at it from a security standpoint, those of you that have been to Israel, you know you cannot give up East Jerusalem. The security of the rest of your country is put in play. So the fact is, what has happened here is recognition of the reality on the ground. President Trump is the art of the deal. One of the first principles in the art of the deal is understand the facts as they are, not as you wish them to be. That's the fact on the ground. And I'm glad that's the fact on the ground, that Israel's capital is Jerusalem. So now the United States is recognizing what is already clear under international law, that Israel's capital is Jerusalem. We come back from the break. We're going to be joined by our military experts. We're going to be joined by our government affairs teams to let you know what happens next. Tomorrow's broadcast, a full analysis of the reaction from the world on this. So we'll be taking some of your calls and comments. But again, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett coming to you now live from Washington, D.C. Jay has left and he has returned to the conference for advocating for victims of religious persecution around the world. Very busy day here in Washington, D.C., but very exciting day for all of us here at the ACLJ. For those of you who have been listening, obviously a great move by President Trump, accomplishing or really satisfying a campaign promise that he made to fully recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel by moving the United States Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. It's something that we have called for many years. And the announcement today by the president that we expect right after we are off live broadcast, so if you're hearing this by tape delay, it likely will have happened by the time you hear my voice. That announcement is expected, and it does fulfill what has been current law in the United States since 1995, a law that was passed overwhelmingly in both the House and the Senate to move the embassy to Jerusalem. And frankly, it just never happened. Each president since then has exercised a waiver to push off the move of that embassy. And President Trump promised to reverse course on that and actually fulfill U.S. law. And today we expect him to do just that. Now, just by way of technicality, and we'll get into some of the details with the team here, he will have to continue signing that waiver that was authorized in law until the building of the embassy is complete. That, of course, has to happen because you cannot move 1,000 employees of the embassy overnight until you have the building for them. So we expect him to sign that waiver until the building is complete, but he has already notified all of the stakeholders in the region that this announcement is coming and that he will direct the State Department to make this move. We hope to be joined in just a few moments by Congressman Ron DeSantis from the state of Florida. He is the chairman of the National Security Subcommittee on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, one of the driving forces on Capitol Hill to try to facilitate this, to try to see U.S. law honored and our ally Israel respected with their choice of Jerusalem as their capital. While we're waiting on him to connect, I just want to go around the table a little bit. I'm joined by Professor Harry Hutchison, Colonel Wes Smith, and then also Skip Ash, senior counsel with the ACLJ. My own thoughts on this. This is a big day, something that I have been looking forward to for a long time. Of course, as Jay said, every sovereign country gets to pick their own capital. But it is very important that we as the United States respect the choice of our allies. Israel has made it very clear that Jerusalem is their capital. And let me first go to Skip. Skip, your reaction on just how significant, again, this is. For a long time, Israel has recognized Jerusalem as their capital, but for the United States president to follow through in what not only is U.S. law, but also respecting the choice of our key ally, how significant is this in your mind?
Well, I think it's very significant. First, every nation under international law has the right to determine its own capital, and Israel was the only nation where everybody seemed to say, no, Israel cannot do that. So Israel has declared Jerusalem to be its capital. This is just a recognition on the part of the most significant state in the international system that we agree with Israel's right to do that, and we recognize that and will honor that right. And that follows on to the fact that we were the first nation to recognize the independence of the state of Israel in 1948. So we are decades behind what we should have done, but we're finally doing the right thing, and I applaud the president for it.
And let me just say, let me add on top of that, I think the next few weeks and months are critical. I know that much of the Arab world has promised a violent reaction. They're calling Friday a day of rage, or maybe the next 3 days leading up to Friday will be days of rage, depending on which source you're citing there. But folks, it is time for us to no longer let perpetrators of violence or terrorists dictate the foreign policy of the United States. And quite honestly, if Iran or proxies like Hezbollah or Hamas are going to engage in violence, that is just going to be standard operating procedure for them. It is not the location of the United States embassy that has made them resort to violence to get across their particular point of view. That has been their preferred weapon for a long, long time. So if they want to engage in days of rage, which of course they should not do, that will just be standard operating procedure for them. This is absolutely the right move for the president, reflecting the facts on the ground. Folks, we are very privileged now to be joined live by Congressman Ron DeSantis from the state of Florida. Just by way of background, he has been working on this issue for a number of years. I've worked closely with his staff on this issue. I know this is front and center on his agenda and their agenda. He is the chairman of the National Security Subcommittee of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, so one of the primary members in the House of Representatives responsible for this policy. So first of all, Congressman, I just want to say thank you for taking a few minutes out of your time on what I'm sure is a very busy day for you. So thank you for joining us.
Oh, well, look, it's an exciting day, and I'm happy to do it.
Let me just ask you up front. I want to know your perspective on why exactly it's significant. What message does it send to the world and to our ally Israel? And then maybe in the same breath, if you would just tell us a little bit of background on your role in this and how long you've been advocating for it.
Well, I think it does a couple of things. One is just this has been law in the United States since 1995. Every president since Bill Clinton has promised that they would follow that law, not waive the law, and move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And every one of those presidents has broken that promise. And I think President Trump, having made that promise, I think he said, look, I'm not going to make these things unless I intend to keep it. So really, against the advice of probably a lot of his advisors, he said, we are going to recognize Jerusalem, and we got to move forward with this. So I think in terms of the president's personal prestige and his credibility, I think that this increases it dramatically, because this is a guy that says what he means and means what he says. Had he broke the promise and not done it, then I think people would say, look, the U.S., they make certain statements, they don't always follow through. So a much different scenario now for other countries taking the measure of America than, say, when they took the measure of President Obama after having drawn red lines in Syria, for example, not followed through. It also is just the fact that Israel's the only country in the world where we don't have our embassy in their chosen capital. And this is a very close ally of ours. It's disrespectful to them. You actually have State Department consulates in Jerusalem that service the Palestinian Arabs, and yet we have to have our embassy for Israel in Tel Aviv, which is not their capital. So I think it's a good thing in terms of our relationship. And my role in it has been with oversight over embassy issues. I knew this was going to be an issue at the start of this Congress. We did, as soon as Trump took office, we had over 100 members of Congress say, Mr. President, move this embassy now. And then I took a trip to Israel in March to scout out potential sites so that we could tell the American people, look, we have sites available now that this can be done. And we were disappointed when we got the waiver in May, because I thought that would have been a good time to do it. But I understand the president was getting his team together, was still early in the administration. But we really hope that by keeping this issue in the forefront, with a president who is intent on keeping his promises, that it would be just a matter of time before this happens. So we're very excited that it's happening today.
Congressman, let me follow up with you on your point about the law that has existed since 1995, calling for this move and then also providing the waiver authority, because I know there were some negotiations and now we're hearing that, you know, this announcement will be made. The State Department will be directed to move forward. But of course, there will be time to build the embassy. So that waiver will be continued to be signed in the interim. I'd like your thoughts on if that's the appropriate usage of that waiver authority in the law. And then also, I read that, that at least Senator Schumer seems to be supportive of this move. Are you hearing bipartisan support in the House of Representatives for this move, or what's the tenor of your colleagues?
There is bipartisan support. However, that has to be weighed against the overwhelming bipartisan support that the 95 Act had, and even recent votes that we've had to reaffirm Jerusalem. Is almost no opposition in the Congress. But you do have a number of Democrats who were fine voting in 95 to identify Jerusalem as the capital, to move our embassy there, and now are saying, oh, this is not the right time. So I think part of that is anti-Trump bias, because it's Trump doing it. You're seeing some of the left wing oppose it, whereas if this were a Democratic president, they probably would be supporting. So I think it will ultimately, there will be significant bipartisan support, but it will not be as bipartisan as these previous laws were. And to me, that's just a sad commentary on part of the state of American politics. In terms of the appropriate use of the waiver authority, we got to see what he says today. Look, if it's, we recognize Jerusalem, I'm signing this waiver to be able to give the State Department time to put a plan together, I don't have an objection for that. If it's, I recognize Jerusalem, but we're going to keep signing waivers infinitum like previous presidents, look, that's better than what they've done, because at least they recognized it. But I think it's harder to sign a waiver beyond this December when you've recognized Jerusalem. It's one thing. The whole reason presidents got away with this is because they say, look, I think Jerusalem's the capital, but it's let leave it up to the parties to determine that. Well, what we're saying now is it's U.S. policy, correctly in my view, that this is their capital. And so it makes it very hard to justify going forward without moving the embassy. So I would like to have heard the embassy being moved right now, but I think president's putting in motion a state of affairs that will inexorably lead to the embassy having to be relocated.
I agree with you, Congressman. Coming up on the end of the segment here, we are very grateful for you taking a few minutes out of your time today to join us. Thank you so much. Thank you for your leadership on this issue. Folks, when we come back after the break, we will continue to keep you updated. I just want to say thank you to Congressman Ron DeSantis. He has been on this from the beginning, spanning multiple administrations. What a great day that we have a president in the United States that is going to follow through on this promise and recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. More after this break.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. We are going to take some of your phone calls in this last segment of the broadcast. So if you would like to make your opinion heard or ask a question about this topic, our phone number is 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to read to you just quickly from the Jerusalem Embassy Act of 1995. It was passed in 1995. While President Clinton was in office, he allowed it to be enacted by not vetoing it. He did not actually sign it. He let it go into law by letting the required time lapse. But let me read to you a couple of provisions. One, Jerusalem should remain an undivided city in which the rights of every ethnic and religious group are protected. Two, Jerusalem should be recognized as the capital of Israel. And three, the United States Embassy in Israel, get this, should be established in Jerusalem no later than May 31st, 1999. More than 18 years ago was the deadline for the United States moving our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem to honor the wishes of the sovereign state and our ally, the nation of Israel. Today, President Trump, shortly after we are off live air, if you're hearing this by tape delay, it will probably already have happened, is going to announce that he is going to follow through on that promise that he made on the campaign trail. He is going to respect U.S. law since 1995, and he is going to move that embassy to Jerusalem as Israel wishes. It will probably take a few years to build the embassy. Until then, he will continue to comply with that law, sign the waiver every 6 months to allow the embassy and its 1,000 staff to stay in Tel Aviv while the embassy is built. But he will be directing the State Department to begin that process. It is a great day for Israel, and quite frankly, it's a great day for the rule of law in the United States as well. I want to quickly go to a couple of members of our panel here. I want to go first to Colonel retired Wes Smith to talk about some of the national security concerns that might be in play here. We talked a bit in the break about these. But Wes, there are already promised days of rage. I think Friday is a specific flashpoint for the Arab world. I would like your assessment on how significant those security threats are. I suspect they're probably pretty real. But then it's also my personal view that it is long past time that we stop allowing terrorists to dictate the foreign policy of the United States. These entities like Iran and Hamas and Hezbollah, they are always going to use violence as a means to try to get their way. But it's about time that the United States stand up and say, no longer will we let you threaten us with violence. You may try to respond, but we're still going to stand by our ally, Israel.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Than. You know, this is a bit of political extortion on the part of the Palestinians, and that has been their modus operandi for decades. But a nation cannot set diplomatic policy based on threats to the security of their citizens or of their facilities. That's just not how the world works. It's not how the civilized world works. And yet, I think the threats of violence, some of the threats are veiled, some not so veiled, from Hamas and other entities. More than likely, they will be self-fulfilling prophecies. I expect over the next several days that there will be, you know, attacks and demonstrations and perhaps even suicide attacks. That is unfortunate. And again, we can't allow the threat of violence to dictate foreign policy or our diplomatic policy. And we are long overdue to take a stand. Israel is the only nation whose capital no one has an embassy in. 86 nations have embassies in Tel Aviv. No one has an embassy in Jerusalem, and yet that is their capital. And so what we're doing and what the president is doing is acknowledging the reality on the ground. And at this point, the threats to the security of Israel and to the United States and our strategic interest are real, but we can't allow that to dictate how we respond and the decision we make on this.
Yeah, I certainly agree. Jay said in an earlier segment of the broadcast that we cover the news, we are the news, and we make the news. And I would just say never is that going to be more the case than in the days and the weeks and months and years ahead. That office that we have in Jerusalem is going to be at the center of this process. We're going to be at the center at helping this transition. And, of course, as we come up to the end of our year, if you want to support that work, you can do it at aclj.org. For the rest of the year, your gift will be doubled, so the impact that you have can be doubled as we help this transition take place. I am going to get to the phone calls, but I want to bring Professor Harry Hutchison into the conversation to give a comment about the importance for the rule of law here, both on respecting the law that was passed in 1995 to make this transition happen. And then, Professor, maybe if you also might have a comment on the Taylor-Forst Act, which is moving through both the House and the Senate. It passed just last night, which basically says the Palestinian Authority will not get taxpayer dollars, at least the vast majority of them, unless they cease what is known as their pay to slay, where they reward terrorists for committing acts of violence. If they don't stop that program, they don't get U.S. dollars. I think that's an important part of U.S. foreign policy to push forward. But then also just your general comments on the importance for the rule of law, finally respecting this law that has been on the books since 1995.
Fan, you are precisely correct. First, I would say that President Trump's decision exhibits real courage. The Palestinian Authority, on the other hand, has difficulty dealing with the facts on the ground. And in addition, the Palestinian Authority has literally encouraged terror and violence. The Palestinian Authority is focused on fantasy. And so I think the Taylor-Forst Act will force the Palestinian Authority to choose between funding and supporting terrorism. The Palestinian Authority has historically been linked with Hamas, which is an internationally recognized terrorist group. Many Palestinian leaders are calling for a day of rage or days of rage in response to the president's decision. The United States should not cave in to terror. Israel cannot cave in to terror because at the end of the day, the real issue is not Jerusalem. The real issue is the existence of the state of Israel. So there are many individuals in the Middle East whose long-term goal is not Jerusalem. Their long-term goal is to eviscerate the nation state of Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East. Many Palestinian leaders, many Arab leaders, are trying to deflect attention from their own misrule and corruption by focusing on Israel. So I think the president's decision rightly deals with reality and removes the arena of fantasy from the world of peace negotiations going forward. So if the Arabs are serious about peace with Israel, they need to recognize Jerusalem's existence as the capital of a sovereign nation state. That's a bottom line, a baseline that the United States should not move from.
Couldn't agree more. I just want to quickly go to Skip. Skip, we've got less than a minute left in the broadcast, but last fall we were literally fighting at the United Nations Security Council to keep the United States from abandoning Israel. And now, just a few short months later, we are seeing this promise fulfilled. Again, just in about 30 seconds, your perspective on just how significant this is.
Well, elections do indeed have consequences. When we elected President Obama, he was the worst president for Israel that I think in my lifetime. And now we have a president who has promised to do things, and he's fulfilling his promises, and he has put Israel back where it belongs in our foreign policy, and I applaud him for that.
Folks, it's a beautiful day for the United States, for rule of law, and for our ally Israel. If you want to support our work, especially that work in Jerusalem where we have an office that will help with some of this transition, I encourage you to go to aclj.org and have your tax-deductible gift doubled. Again, it's aclj.org. Have your gift doubled, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255.
989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.